O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I imagine that you, like I, have heard dozens of sermons on this parable. Most of them which said basically that the Pharisee was proud in his praying and the publican, the tax collector, was very humble and therefore he went away justified. That is, made righteous with God. I think there's a little more to it than that, actually. I know that most of you ladies are really thrilled that we're in the middle of football season. I know one in particular that's very proud of Oregon. And there were a couple of teams playing late one New Year's Day to decide who was going to be number one in the nation. And there was all the hype and the hoopla that goes on and the anticipating this defensive battle that was going to happen, and the reporters were saying, well, to the other team, how do you stop this quarterback? He is super duper. And they played, and the super duper quarterback was defeated, and they asked him, and said, how did you do that? How did you beat this guy who's so good at his job? And two of the linesmen from the winning team said, we watched his eyes. You hear that a lot on TV, commentators. They were watching his eyes. Well, I think these words hold a key to our discovery of the central luminous truth of this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. The parable is not about how to pray or an attitude that you should assume. It's not about wallowing in your own sinfulness and guilt. The key to this parable has to do with the direction of the eyes. Two major players in this parable are the Pharisee and the tax collector, and we tend to see the Pharisee as one who was insincere and self-centered, and he deceived people who cared more for themselves than other folks. And then we see the tax collector is not too bad. When the truth is, the Pharisees were, in fact, very religious laymen. They were pillars of the community, the kind of material of which a strong, healthy community was made. And the Pharisee in the parable is a righteous man in terms of his practice of the law. So when he prayed his prayer, it was true. And if we question the sincerity of his gratitude to God, we miss the impact of the central truth of the parable. He is not like other men. He goes beyond what the Torah teaches in keeping the law, the letter of the law. Goes beyond the expectations. The tax collector, on the other hand, is a scoundrel. No way he could be called a righteous man. He was a collaborator with the Romans, with the people that were oppressing his own people, and he was taking part in it, collecting their money. Graft in that position was rampant. So he was a political and spiritual leper. Well, what is Jesus up to? He's up to his old tricks again. You remember the story about the man, the good, we call it the Good Samaritan. The man was in the ditch. Priest came by, Levite came by, layman came by. Nobody stopped. And then the Samaritan, that little bomb he dropped. Well, this is another little bomb he drops. What wrong has the Pharisee done? And what retribution has the publican offered? Well, the answer is none. The people must have wondered, well, what's going on? So we do. And it asks the question, well, does the prayer of a righteous, hopeless, sorrowful sinner surpass the sincere, righteous deeds of another in the eyes of God? The answer is in the writings of St. Paul, I think. It's not that some of us are good and others are bad, but rather that all of us, even the Pharisee, fall short of the glory of God, as Paul put it. The Pharisee trusted in himself and in his works instead of the grace of God. And when we measure our works by a standard other than God's standard, we fall into the double trap of either unwarranted pride or dishonest humility. Remember I said at the beginning to watch the eyes? What was the Pharisee doing? He was looking over at the publican. Lord, I thank you I'm not like this man. I'm so good, and he's so bad. I'm so happy I'm not in that position. Pharisee looked splendid when compared to the tax collector over here, but the moment we look sideways at someone else to compare ourselves with that person, the demon of pride comes in. An unwarranted sense of security comes into us. You see, I said, watch their eyes. And the question comes, to whom are we comparing ourselves? Our Pharisee friend had no sense of need when he looked sideways at the tax collector. He blocked the light of God's presence with the shadow of his self-importance and spiritual success. Measured by God, he was a pygmy, minuscule. It's awesome. When we come into the presence of God, it's an awesome experience. We're like St. Peter when they had the fishing trip and he suddenly realized who Jesus was, and he fell on his knees and said, "Depart from me, for I'm unclean. I'm a sinner." And Isaiah said the same thing when he came into the presence of God. "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people with unclean lips." Both of these fellows were giants in their faith, but standing in the light of the eternal, loving, merciful God's presence, they sound exactly like the tax collector over here. So you see, the bottom line is this. The parable is not about one of these men's prayers and lives surpassing the other person. It's about the amazing grace and mercy of God. The Pharisee's eyes were on the tax collector. The publican's eyes would not even look up to heaven. He saw himself as a sinner and cried out to God. The rest of the story is that we are to be living examples of God's love and mercy and forgiveness. And we have the power to be those examples, but we need to plug into the power that's with us all the time. We need to stay in touch with the presence of God. So many times we pray and we're not exactly sure that God is listening, or that God hears our prayers. And then when God does answer the prayer, sometimes it's not as we expect. We're a bit like the Alaskan bush pilot who was flying supplies to an outpost, and he crashed in the wilderness. And he was trapped inside his plane. And he prayed to God, "Oh, save me." And as far as he was concerned, God didn't answer his prayers because he couldn't free himself. And he got back to the trading post, and they said, "Well, what happened? You crashed your plane. How did you get back here?" He said, "I don't know. I prayed to God, and God didn't answer my prayers, but I don't know what he was doing, but this silly Eskimo came out of the storm and pulled me out of the airplane and took me back here." God answers our prayers sometimes, and we're not even aware what's going on. As we go about our duties this week, watch your eyes. Watch the other person's eyes, because the message is there. Amen.